Back up, please.
Hello and welcome to IndyCast episode number 252. I'm your host Aditya, and along with me, I have Abhishek.
Hello, people. You may be, I don't know if it's very evident for the listeners, but I can hear you louder and clearer than before because you are clearly sitting with a new headset, which you've dug out from your...
From when we used to do IndyCast very regularly. And, you know, we were extremely serious about our punctuality. Then I had invested in a good headset. Back then, it was really expensive.
How much was that? Do you remember?
It was like $50 equivalent. But Abhika Ishmet, the same thing. I mean, the perceived expense was big. Thankfully, we have grown up since then. And have a little bit more tere bare mein thoda sa doubtful hai kya abhi bhi grown we thankfully have a little bit more kya bolte usko expend nahi kya bolte wo income apne ko economics mein padhaya tha
discretionary income is it
expenses hum log kar sakte hain I'm forgetting what that is. But I dug it out. I did not go and buy a new one, Abhishek.
Yeah, that's good.
I need points for that.
Absolutely.
I went into the storeroom, dug this out. I spent like half an hour in dusty environment getting this out.
Going to the gym, you buy the most expensive pair of shoes and a jersey and then don't go, not good. I've done that once long ago. But my first mic was 55 rupees. I remember that on IndyCast 15 years ago. 55 rupees, which was
$1.
From
big spender
that Lamington Road or someplace. I was there for some other reason, and then I think that was 55 rupees, and then 110 rupees. There was one more, and now this one is a little more expensive because you can't see that on the.
Oh wow! Look at that.
So it's what is
very
it?
Fancy.
It's a little mic. Yeah, man. This time I am the moment, because you know me and my relationship with electronics is not that great. I may, you know, break a phone or lose something. So the moment the recording gets done, this thing goes into this little cardboard box, which the listeners can't see, but I'll show it to you. It's a proper box. And then this box goes into a shelf, which nobody can touch for the rest of the week or until the next Point Blank or IndyCast. So I'm trying to be very, very, you have to give me points for being very disciplined about this thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Plus you have a 5-year-old.
He's safer than I am.
He takes care of things better than you do. Okay.
You spent some time with your 10-year-old, right? Last week on this big day. Did you go?
Big day, yes. Yeah, so the schools were all off. There were no schools. He was at home, so I was with him. And I took him for the solar eclipse that happened in Canada, Mexico, in North America, bol sakte, but regions of North America for after a long time. And this was in totality. So we were 7 kilometers away from the path of totality. So we were like 99.8% there. And so it was really exciting to take him, be there. So we went to this open field, this one particular field where I go for a walk, except I have never seen so many people out there. And it was just crazy. It was, first of all, that was the big thing, is that, there are people around who live here. Otherwise, it just seems like we live. So that was one. And the whole process of how it happened. So it started in Toronto, eclipse. It began at 2:05. And then over a period of time, it reached 99%. It was at 3:20. And then it ended at 4:41. Right? But there was this brief period of like 5 minutes. And how quickly it gets dark.
Wow.
And it was just very eerie. As you've never experienced this. You can see as a darkness come over. So I can only imagine. And everyone was like, whoa, things are happening. Like something is happening.
So
you know how
that,
So
that moment leading up to the eclipse, was it noisy? And then did everybody just shut up to see what was happening? How was that when you actually were there?
There was this, once it started, right? And once it starts, it goes pretty quickly. It becomes really dark very quickly.
Yeah.
Right. So as soon as a little bit, it started becoming 20% darker. People suddenly went quiet. Everything went quiet. And of course, people had so many dogs there. Dogs stopped running and they're like, what the heck is happening? And they're looking up. birds, etc. started flying around. And there was this calmness that suddenly came upon. Right? Wo alien spaceship landing types. कैसा होता है वो सीन एवरीवन लुक्स अप ऊपर देखते हैं एंड देन सो इट बिकेम रियली क्वाइट एंड वी कैन सी दैट डाउनटाउन फ्रॉम आवर प्लेस सो इट वाज आल्सो फनी बिकॉज़ ऑल दोस लाइट्स आर फोटो सेंसिटिव राइट सो दे कम ऑन एज सून एज इट गेट्स डार्कर सो इट वाज आल्सो एक्सट्रीमली वियर्ड दैट एट 4 o'clock व्हेन इट इज टिपिकली वेरी ब्राइट ऑल द लाइट्स डाउनटाउन वाज लिट अप And like 10-15 minutes after that, it again, all the lights were off. So that was pretty cool.
And this is when the moon passes in front of the sun and it casts a shadow on some part of the earth. And often it can also happen in oceans, but this time it happened on land, which is where you got to go and see this. And science has advanced to an extent where you can actually predict it down to the minute. When it will happen, Absolutely. And you can do it some 100 years beforehand, apparently. So.
Oh yeah. We know exactly how long. So if and by the way, this sun moon coming in front of the sun, etc., is what they tell you.
Achha.
What actually happened, Abhishek, is I'll tell you what really happened. It is written in our granthon mein likha hua hai ye sab, right? Which is. So it starts, the story starts earliest period of earliest time, right? When there was Devas and Asuras. They came together and it is called Samudra Manthan. Now this is the legit actual story.
Right. Okay. Not the what science. Have, what That's more important. Told,
that this is what really happened.
Happened.
Is, so they came and then there was this big event that happened. It's called Samudra Manthan. Bole to all the devas and asuras matlab the, all the gods and demons they came together and then they churned the ocean of milk ekdam pura
manthan
they created amrit out of that
right
bole to elixir of kya bolta hai wo mortality immortality they created this potion harry potter's fan will know and but all these demons they tricked the devas that is the gods And took all the Amrit away with them, right? So then it came down to now the gods were extremely pissed off. So Vishnu said, "I'll hold on, let me handle it." So he took on an avatar of a female, really hot female, right? And he went to the Asuras where they were, you know, going to have a party,
chilling.
And then thoda sa dance once kiya, and then the Asuras were like, "Whoa." And then they handed Amrit to this female whose name is Mohini, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Mohini.
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 Right.
So, this is true.
Sorry. Because I found was there was actually a Greek philosopher. His name was Thales, and the story is not half as sexy as what you told. But you finish yours, then I'll get there.
That is the remake of this. That is the remake. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there is some argument about which one is the remake.
But it just happens that this is the reality. Because Thales, they credit Thales to be the world's first scientist. That doesn't matter. I mean, what that. Yeah. And then actually, this Newton.
So actually, this
that
happened.
Chap. So, go ahead. Then, finish your story. So,
And then Vishnu came back. Mohini came back in Vishnu's avatar. They came back to all the devas. And he said, Vishnu said, all the gods sit in a row. I mean, literally. Said, all the gods sit in a row. And I'm going to give you this potion of immortality. Amrit pilane wala. And so they all sat in a row. However, one of the demons, Asuras.
There's always one.
One Swar Bhanu. Karke, she also came along and she sat in the row of devas. And she also drank Amrit. They were like, and Surya and Chandra, who are like sun and the god, they're also one of the deities, right? They snitched and they informed Mohini. is that, dude, you know, Swarbhanu is not a god. And but by that time, Vishnu had already given Amrit de diya tha. So by that time, Swarbhanu had become immortal already. Right? So Vishnu then, because he cheating kiya, Vishnu cut off Swarbhanu's head with his discus, actually. Discus bole to that chakri
correct.
That you have. Right? Sudarshan chakra.
Yeah.
And it cut Swarbhanu into two pieces.
Ouch.
But Swarbhanu did not die. Because Amrit
immortal.
Immortal tha. Tafda ho gaya abhi. So the head part of it is known as Rahu, and then the body part is known as Ketu. So this is where Rahu Ketu were born.
Right. Okay.
Now after this Rahu Ketu, then they gained the status of planet, and then they could influence lives of humans on Earth also. And this is where the astrology, this is where aapke Rahu mein Ketu hai, Ketu mein Rahu hai, you know, then you have to do those pujas, go to Nasik and do that.
And wear red 20 rings,
Yeah, and so, however, and now Rahu Ketu, they became enemies with Surya and Chandra because they are snitched on them, right? So, and that's why Rahu pursues them. Rahu pursues and tries to consume them. Consumes the sun and the moon.
Okay.
Right?
That's the climax.
That is the, and so sun and moon, they, and that is how this story of Chandra, this grahan happens.
Right? So
it then, is Rahu is the head.
Right.
And sun and moon exit from the throat. And when he tries to swallow them, and then the recurring cycle basically keeps on happening. That is what is actually happening in a solar eclipse.
Man, that's
it is the revenge of Rahu.
It's so. Newton, yeah. Isaac Newton then only gave this a bit of a rational explanation. The real thing was this, and what happened in 1687, he got that law of gravity, right? And then
people ruin the story with facts and science, and you know
exactly. Yeah. And then it's a different story that it was his breakthrough that made it possible to predict the paths of not only comets and the planets, but also the sun, moon, and the earth. But of course, Rahu and Ketu are far, they deserve more credit. And in fact, it was his good friend, Edmund Halley, about whom we read in school, in science books, by the way, that we have the Halley's Comet.
So Halley's Comet. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what he did in 1714 was he published a map where he actually predicted the path of a solar eclipse across England the next year. And today, of course, using lots of powerful computers and Newton's laws, we can predict movements of stars for millions of years in advance. But there was indeed a time where people thought, like just like you guys went silent and the dogs wondered what happened, there was actually a big war that was being waged between two kingdoms. So it's Medes and Lydian. I have no idea who they are, but they were actually fighting. And there was this eclipse that took place back in 585 BC. And both the sides quickly laid out their arms because they wondered, shit, what is this? What is happening? Because it was something, it was considered to be a powerful omen that you should just not mess with something that is supernatural. And it has stopped a war at least. And of course, there are quite a few superstitions. I think in India, we had some weird ones. Close the curtains, do not cook food at the time. That it might get poisoned. So it was a little eerie, those few minutes. So you were told to sit at home.
Oh, yes. And so I got curious about when is the next one going to happen. But so what did happen here is that it was really cloudy, though, in Toronto. So we didn't get the best view of when it was total solar eclipse. Ka clear view nahi mila. But we got the partial views, etc. and things like that. The total eclipse happens every 18 months or so.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the world. Okay. It actually happens 2 to 4 times. 2 to 5 solar eclipses happen each year, with total eclipse taking every 18 months. Kahin pe to hota. But it happens only around, say, 400, every 400 years at any one place in Earth. Right. But it will take another 400 years approximately for it to happen in Toronto. Right?
Yeah.
Which I hope this guy Elon better get his but moving on, immortality.
Immortality,
thing.
Yeah. No, there's another guy.
For the next one.
There's another chap, right? Who Venmo? There's a tool called Venmo, which is used for money transfer in the USA.
Yeah.
His founder has got some $200 million, and he's investing in all of this longevity and quality of life.
Larry Page has been big on it. Yeah. All this is the next unlock for Silicon Valley. I mean, people who already are the richest people, they are trying to figure out how to continue living and spend the billions that they have made. Which, if I were them, I would do that too. So I don't really blame them in anything. Yeah. Right?
Their money.
It's their money. And so it's also interesting, Airbnb all sold out exactly in the belt. Right? So completely, which was funny to see. It makes sense, but it is just when you see that visual on which was also available on Economist, right? It is really funny to see how real it is. There was another interesting one. In Maharashtra, the next total solar eclipse is going to happen in 2248.
Oh.
So please be there.
Yeah, I think it's not that far away in the future, unlike 200 years. Do you know when the last solar eclipse will happen? And it will happen. Because every year, moon very slowly drifts away from Earth. What happens when this moon, and this is something that I'm reading of, I'm not a geography, astronomy student or whatever, but every year when the moon was formed some 4 billion years ago, it has been spiraling away from Earth. So what happens is that gravitational interactions, which basically we know the tides, the ebb and flow of the tides, raised by that gravity send the water in our planet's oceans sliding over the sea floor and along the edges of continents. That creates friction that causes Earth to spin more slowly on its axis, is something that New York Times wrote. And then the moon moves outwards in its orbit in response to the slowing of the Earth. So that so over times, and that will approximately take apparently some 620 million years for
Yes. 620 million years. Okay.
In the 1970s, these researchers, they found out that moon was receding from Earth by about 1.5 inches each year. So there is a lot more for it to drift that will take that long. So 620 million years.
We'll be on Mars by then, right? We'll be an interplanetary species, as they call it. Sounds very, very, what sort of visa will we require for that? God.
No, we will be back to the Rahu Ketu kind of a yug again if we have to survive.
Yeah, exactly. I think that will be much more fun time to be. Because right now I hear, just even if you want to go from, forget about going from Earth to Mars for Indians, if they have to go from India to US right now, it's going to take you months and if not years to apply to get your visa through. And at all they let you in.
No, it probably takes longer to go from Panvel to VT than it takes to fly in the air from Mumbai to Bangalore anyway. So you know
Okay. That hasn't changed. Next, by the way, if you don't want to, Abhishek, wait until 2248 to view a total solar eclipse in India. You can check it out in Jammu and Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh in 2034. So it's not too far away, actually.
Yeah. Another 10 years. Yeah.
Another 10 years.
But is it that big? So let me read a line from a beautiful article the New York Times did. And the first line was, a total solar eclipse when the cosmos clicks into place with the worlds aligned like cue balls. Maybe one of the most profoundly visceral experiences you can ever have without ingesting anything illegal. Was it as close to that? Or is it too much of a color that these journalists had? Although but how is it?
Yeah. It liked the lines. It basically, someone went to ChatGPT and said that moon came in between the Earth and Sun, make me sound intelligent, and that is what you got, right?
But
I did not expect it to be like that, but as it really got dark and then light, it was magical. Understand the the enormity is not the right word, but how cool I was too focused on the viewing the sun and the moon rather than what is happening around. at this time I was, because there was no cloud, I mean, because there were clouds up there, I was more focused on what was happening around.
So it was magical.
So yeah, that part, it was magical. It was magical, but that, yeah, someone spent really good quality time writing that up. If they didn't use GPT. In the meantime, Bangalore has completely another set of problem, which is peene ko paani nahi hai, Baba.
Oh, Baba. You bet. They don't have water shortage. The chief minister said that the city has 500 million liters of water shortages every day. There are trucks that are weaving through traffic. Weaving to nahi bol sakte. Stranded in traffic. They are charging twice as much, is what one of the truck drivers told in one of the interviews, because the demand is such that he's getting phone calls from all over the place. Karnataka, like many other places in India, has not been receiving good amount of rains, which is 18% lower than normal since 2015. And this is something we had read in school, in civics or in geography, about depletion of groundwater. It is pretty much the same that it was in 1990s to what it is now, only exacerbated by more and more digging of tube wells. So all of that has
and
come
the
to
destruction of lakes, right?
Yeah.
And all this.
And it's not just Bangalore, by the way. Quite a few other places. Kerala, they had a 34% deficit last year. Bihar, Jharkhand, Uttar Pradesh, almost 25%. But Bangalore, you can see people standing in line with buckets and those Bisleri 20-liter plastic bottles, or those are the ones that are being filled up.
I did not. So this article that I read, which says that Karnataka, Bangalore rather, is becoming India's second largest arid region now after Rajasthan, which is mind blowing. Right?
I hadn't known that.
The massive amount of consumption that is happening, along with the lack of planning that has happened, and some blaming El Nino on it, and to further complicate things, it is not a good place to be.
So while other cities and states have also faced water problem, not as bad as Bangalore. Bangalore is in a poor situation because apparently one of the geologists said that the aquifer systems in down south are rocky. So aquifer, it's basically that body of rock or sediment that holds the groundwater. And groundwater is all that is the definition that we learned is, and I quote, is to precipitation that infiltrates the soil beyond the surface and that gets collected in, those empty spaces underground. So you dig a tube well, you suck the water, and you need to keep digging deeper and deeper until the water goes out. But the problem down south, including Karnataka, is that these aquifers don't hold too much water because they are rocky, so they get emptied sooner than the ones in North India. That is one problem. The second problem is the reservoirs. They are as we speak holding only 26% of full capacity, so it's not like they have water stored elsewhere either. And then you talked about too much pressure on the city itself. So the population has tripled to 15 million since back in 90s. So basically the buildings came in first and then the sewage system is what happened. And Bangalore is representative of rest of the country, unfortunately. Bangalore alone has drilled some 450,000 to 5 lakh tube wells. Oof. Without the government knowing that has happened, because a slum area, let's say, you call somebody and you say, yahan pe dalo tube well. So they'll do it. There is no, and in India, water is
there's
free.
There's no permission
to
be shot.
There's not much. I don't see that because, and in India, water is free, by the way. So there was a law that was passed in 1882 that gives every landowner the right to collect and dispose of all water on and under that person's land. So it is not a public resource. It is his resource. So, and the cost of electricity, you need electricity, right? One might argue, then it's costly. But no, it's not, because the government subsidizes it, because you've got 600 million people who need water for agriculture, and it's a big vote bank. And the irony is, India was once a begging bowl. We went to everyone for money, for food. And now we are a net exporter. Back in the day when Green Revolution happened, we read about that again. But the trade-off or the collateral damage was, to fuel the Green Revolution, you had to dig those tube wells, and now it's come back and haunting back to us. That's
crazy. So that is absolutely right. Right? It's like this unplanned consumption of kya bolte the, public or natural resources seems to be a big lafda that happens. And because Bangalore's most of the water that it gets comes from Kaveri River. Right?
Yeah.
So around 70% comes from there, and the rest of it comes from these borewells that people dig. There was this one guy who I grew up with back in India, who is now now a member of parliament. And every time he typically says ki ye public these like in our internal conversations, whenever there is a problem, you guys start blaming authorities, right? But when you buy real estate in buildings that are not approved, projects that are not approved, where there is no sanitation facility, where there is no road available, etc., you guys don't come to me and ask whether I should buy this. I will tell you that all these problems exist. So why are you now complaining to me? So as people itself, you guys don't care about infrastructure. You guys don't care about all this happens later on, and there is no way for us to plan. We can't stop someone from building something on their own land, right? But that is, so where does that entire response, people jaise bolta na, people get the government it deserves.
Yeah, so yeah, true that. No, that's true.
Wonder whether this is part of it too.
No, we read about building check dams back in school. And the articles today also carry the same thing, that irrigation, India does not depend on irrigation as much as it depends on rainfall. First of all, 40% of India's population, 40% rely on agriculture, which is 600 million Indians. And a little over 50-60% is not irrigated at all. So it's completely dependent on rainfall. And I think we receive some 3/4 of all rainfall in that June to September period. And if that is bad, then we are screwed. So everything from food inflation to the farmers' lives, it's because everybody relies on rain, and we are praying. Even the finance minister had prayed for rains to make sure that the interest rates don't go up and down, because that is the amount of we depend on rain so much, which also means that the rest of the year is dry, and we don't have enough water to go, and then we are again back in the same loop. And then India, by the way, India, that groundwater bit, India pumps more groundwater than China and America combined. So it is that bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
And then the government is trying. So there are some tricks of the trade. Like in Punjab, I think they had, which produces wheat, which needs water. There are quite a few schemes that the government has passed where farmers are getting cash incentives not to do that. Not to, pump less groundwater. Tumko paisa dega hum log, wo mat karo. And then on the other hand, we also have ministers who travel. In 2016, I remember vividly, I think it was in Nanded or Latur, where, first of all, it was dry. You remember there were trains going from Sangli, Kolhapur, water trains to Latur because there was no water there. And there was a minister traveling to Latur. And now who decides these things? The helipad where his helicopter was to land. Dude, they waste, my hair on my hand has stood up. 10,000 liters of water was used to scrub the helipad just for his arrival. And people are dying out there. There are women, there was at least one woman in June 2022, because I remember monsoon. She was climbing down a well, and that in Madhya Pradesh. And that video had gone viral, where she was only using bricks, like a Spider-Man, basically. She was climbing down, dangerous stuff. And there were people with guns, again in 2016, manning wells in some parts of the country so that people don't steal water from there. So it's bad in a country which relies on rainfall so much. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Crazy, crazy things, right? So there is this big India versus Bharat again.
So that's just the way it is. And India, again, we've got 18% of the world's population, but we only have 4% of the world's water. So, and oh, wow. that too not in every, that, not equally distributed.
Oh, well, let's see how that plays out, Ram. And I think, why do I feel that this is going to be a recurring topic for every year during this time? And summer even hasn't started yet, right?
Yeah.
It's already this condition, right? So it's not going to be, I get a feeling that we'll be talking about this topic once again, one more time this season.
Yes.
In the meantime, it's coming back to the election season that is going on. Microsoft has come out and has warned that China and North Korea may try to interfere in Indian elections using AI.
Hmm.
Do they need to do this? given everyone already knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Or is this like a long-term game?
I also read that they experimented something in Taiwan. And then they are doing this, so they'll have one small country as a guinea pig, and then they'll unleash this to see how it all goes, perhaps. And
I would say that it is, because I don't think that it's going to, the outcomes are going to change, right? The one thing that they might be, go ahead, thing, is it?
No.
Do
but
you think
it is,
that there is going to be a different outcome?
No, apparently, even when they say that the Russian bots interfered in American elections, they also found that despite that interference, it's not like they swayed the decisions of people. Was another study that had, and we'll get to that. But the this year is interesting from that standpoint, that generative AI standpoint, which creates fake images and deep fakes, blah blah blah, is that. There are 4 billion people in the world that will be going to polls. India, yeah. Indonesia, America, Mexico.
42 countries or 24 countries? Am I getting that?
The big ones are Taiwan, Mexico, Indonesia, India, Britain, America. And that itself is 4 billion. So it's a good, test bed for these technologies to, run havoc to see what really happens. Although in India, you don't need AI. All you need is WhatsApp, where real people will create fake content and you can easily forward it to people. And this is something that, by the way, that has happened all the... So this fakery is there in human beings' DNA. Campaigns. Yeah. So you always fling dirt or mud on the other guy. In fact, even back, that COVID-19 ka precursor 100 years ago, that Spanish flu, at that time, people who were anti-vaxxers or anti-maskers, also had waged some disinformation campaign on Telegram.
Yep. I have a feeling that they're probably going to try these things here and see the efficacy so that they can go and mess around in the US election later in the year, which is in November.
Tell me one thing. Isn't technology... Now, why do we need to have human beings to discern if something is fake or real, especially when it comes to deepfake videos? Can't the platform itself, like a WhatsApp, Meta, or Twitter, or whoever, or OpenAI for that matter, if something is doctored, so at least my mom will not forward it. It's fake. Correct? Idhar to aana chahiye fake. Why can't technology spot fake?
There is this massive. This goes back to why can't the SMS scams, right? Forget about AI. Right? There is so much money that people are already losing and people are already having, just based on SMS text message scam or OTP scams that happen in India. The same things are also happening in Canada, in the US. Mm. And we are talking about billions of dollars that general public loses based on those small little things. Theoretically, if one of these billionaires who is trying to work on extending, who is working on immortality, puts those 200 million towards this, the problem can be solved.
No, see, there is no antidote to stupidity. There will still be people who will enter money and all of that.
This is a transitional generation. So people like you and me, or probably 10 years older than us, they are in the transition of this change that is going to happen in AI. You remember how when computers came, people who were in this transitional phase, 40 to 50 year olds, they couldn't handle internet. They don't know ye internet kya hota hai. And then there was the same generation. There are people who don't know how to use WhatsApp. It is not that they are engineers, they are all those things, but they don't know how to use WhatsApp. So
yeah.
there is always a chunk of people who get stuck into this. If you talk to any of the younger folks, if you talk to my son, if you talk to or my son plus 10 years old, so someone around 20 years, they're like, no, we know this is a doctored video. It is clearly that. So they are already trained. They are already growing up. And this brain muscle memory is being built to identify what is a doctored video versus what is not.
What happens is, see, if I read something interesting, I often find myself, oh, whom should I share? Not on social media, but I'll share this to Aditya, or I'll share this to a friend who likes crypto. I'll share. The first instance is, at least read the article before sharing. Don't just, you know, because we don't have, and imagine I'm 41, a 20-year-old on Instagram. One of the things that the joke is, what's one thing that is different among that generation and ours is that they want to express everything. And unexpressed thought is not something which is there in the dictionary anymore. So, you click, you share. Now, when you find anything that is controversial, yeah, it has some mouth-watering, gossipy thing. Like there was some, it has got nothing to do with India, but Chicago ka kuch mayor election hua tha 2020-23 mein. There was one candidate whose audio went viral. And he didn't actually say that. So Aditya, we've got enough content on IndieCast out there, probably thousands and thousands of hours. Easily, any deepfake can just take your voice and create a 1-minute rant. It goes on the internet and somebody listens. If you are famous enough, it gets viral. Now, the tool in this case should be able to, if it's not able to identify that it's not Aditya Mathre or Barack Obama, and you just, people will share because it sounds like him. So even that 20-year-old that you talked about, humko pata hai that that's deep fake, probably is not foolproof. And by the way, even if they know, they don't have the time to put their judgment to it. They'll just share. Everybody shares. So I think some of the responsibility also rests with these guys. And I'm surprised that even Eric Schmidt, who is the CEO or former CEO of Google, he warns that, I quote, the 2024 elections, that is American elections, are going to be a mess because social media is not protecting us from false generative AI. Now, the powers that be, when they say that, hey, we are helpless, or rather social, we are not doing enough, then what?
It's a big problem right now, right? And this is a big problem. There is a big, and this is why OpenAI was also a charitable institution and not a for-profit thing, right? Which is no more the case. That institution was supposed to come up with tools to fight all these things or combat all these things or prevent or figure out a solution to this. Now, when that, and that is also, that is one of the, also the skepticism around OpenAI is that the protectors have become, themselves have become the creators of the problems. So yes, let's see. It is a big problem to be solved. And apparently they say this is like a cat and a mouse. The technology is progressing so rapidly and getting so good at what it is supposed to be doing that it is getting difficult to counter it.
And I don't know where you get your news from, but according to Pew Research Center, this is, I mean, it's not like numbers on the backside. One out of five American voters or Americans consume news from social media, and I don't think that figure might be any different in other developing or developed countries, which is
absolutely
a pretty big figure. And those who are on social media, they are exposed to a lot of fake news. So somewhere 1-5% of all news, according to researchers from Harvard University's Kennedy School, between 1-5% of all news is false or highly misleading. So it's a pretty big number, and now this will only go at scale. So what used to, even that in that joke about a human being creating a fake video on WhatsApp, today, because AI is at scale, you can do more of that. So we'll see. We'll talk about it perhaps in the, you know, it's a oh, big, yeah. it's going to be a big election campaign, which is already underway. And we'll see where and how AI
Up
impacts
ki bar,
us.
Char so par.
Yeah. Yes.
देखो रहा है आवाज.
ओहो. मोदी मोदी ऐसा करने का क्या? Can you hear me? Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I.
Can you?
I can hear you.
No, we just lost each other. So I was just instead of for those wondering what, so, instead of saying can you hear me, I just shouted Modi Modi for once wondering what happened to me.
Your mother outside the room and everyone outside must be wondering what happened to Abhishek suddenly.
Instead of Abhishek basically Badalla. that is changed
what happened suddenly.
Instead of saying mic testing or can you hear me, I just said that. Anyway, so those were the topics as
your mom must be wondering ki we thought now that Aditya is gone away to Canada, he's away from bad influence. But this after this again, every week it is started again.
At least we are doing this.
Oh well. At least we are doing this. Yes, that's about it. So those were the three topics that we had. And just FYI, people who did not get the sarcasm, the Rahu Ketu story was supposed to be funny.
Yes.
But I love reading all those sort of things and see how creative people were back, right? To come up with that. Because television nahi tha na. Television nahi tha. Yeah. The stories were all, you know, there was no TikTok, there was no...
If you want to get a good night's sleep, don't make light of these things. You never know; they may be real.
They may be real. Who knows? Yeah. Right. So those were the topics that we had. Please go to our website is www.theindicast.com. There you can find the different buttons to select your favorite podcast app and subscribe to it. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. You're on all the any other thing that you may be using as well, and don't forget to hit the follow button, right? On X or on as Twitter, we are at Indicast, and on YouTube, Abhishek has posted a couple of amazing videos of his point blank conversations that he's done. youtube.com/@IndicastTV. Or it is just /IndicastTV. We are very close to around. We just started that posting on that channel, by the way, right? And we are almost at 1,000 subscribers too. So please subscribe to that channel. I've been told that something magical happens after you go above 1,000 subscribers. So I want to see. I want to feel what that magic is and whether it is real, right? So please go and subscribe there. And tell all your friends. Feel free to send us topics that you would like us to chat about. And that's about it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.